Dopamine detox, a concept that's exploded in recent years across social media. It's people taking breaks from technology, social media, or anything really that feels too stimulating in the hope of rebooting the brain and restoring motivation. I am such a sucker for a doom scroll, and if I allow myself to do too much of it, by goodness, you just procrastinate all day. But it's a big thing now. You know, people are raw-dogging flights, going on flights without phones or even watching the in-flight entertainment on the screens. Now, that idea of a dopamine detox sounds appealing. It's a quick reset for an overstimulating world. But neuroscientists and psychologists say it's based on a big misunderstanding. But dopamine, it's not something we can switch off or flush out of our system. It's a vital brain chemical that helps us learn, focus and stay motivated, not just one that rewards us for pleasure. So if we can't actually detox from dopamine, what's actually happening when we step back from the constant stimulation that one experiences in 2025? To unpack the science behind this and what we can actually do to build healthier habits, we're joined by Dr. Anastasia Chronis, clinical psychologist and author of The Dopamine Brain, who joins us on the line. Thanks so much for making the time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. When people talk online about a dopamine detox, what do they mean?
Yeah, so a dopamine detox has typically been sold as this short-term solution for kind of resetting our brain chemicals and pathways. Usually people are looking at doing something like a 24-hour detox where they stop doing anything that's going to sort of stimulate dopamine in their brain. So that's, you know, no TV, no Netflix, no sugary food, no music, no fun, basically, for 24 hours. And the idea being that this can kind of reset our levels, but ultimately not as effective as we would like to think it might be. It's probably going to feel like a pretty uncomfortable 24 hours. We will have some sort of withdrawal effect, but it's not long enough to see any lasting change.
Right. But you can't actually detox from dopamine, can you?
You can't detox from dopamine itself. You know, we need dopamine. It's always kind of running in our brain and body. And it does a lot more than just kind of create that feeling of pleasure. It helps regulate our kidney functions. It helps us store memories in the brain. It helps control our motor movements. So it actually does a fair bit beyond just kind of creating that feeling of pleasure. So we absolutely need it in order to be functioning.
Yeah. And how does social media and many of the other similar distractions we encounter in the modern world impact how dopamine functions within our brains?
Yeah, so what we see is through things like social media or screens, we get these very constant sort of low-level experiences of dopamine being activated. And the thing is that our brain likes to kind of have a sense of baseline and to calibrate itself so that it's not always feeling excited all the time. So if we get this constant dopamine activation through screens and other things in life, what that then means is that when we then go out and meet our friends for a coffee or do something kind of more natural that would usually activate dopamine pathways, it doesn't necessarily feel as good because we've already had it activated artificially through other things in our life.
Right. Is this overstimulation and having this dopamine rushing, like seeking instant pleasure all the time, is that potentially a factor underpinning the surge in ADHD diagnoses we've seen?
Well, definitely this kind of move towards short-term, shorter form content and a move away from kind of long form content through YouTube shorts and reels and things like that. There are links. It's not sort of been proven as of yet, but there's certainly emerging research that shows that there are links to increases in the ADHD diagnoses or difficulties with attention that we're seeing, because dopamine's not only activated when we experience something pleasurable, but it also keeps pulling us in that direction. If anyone's ever kind of felt an urge to do something, an urge to check their phone, an urge to eat a sugary treat, for example, that's dopamine pulling you in that direction, which makes it harder for us to focus on long-form content.
Right. It's interesting because one of the best predictors of success that I've observed is the ability of people to think in the long term. Is there a way of channeling dopamine and resetting the brain's settings, in a sense, to be able to do that?
Yes, we can do almost like a longer form of a dopamine detox, digital detox, but in a more moderated way. Whenever we do something quite intensely for a short period of time, it's unlikely to have lasting effects. But essentially what we do encourage people to do is look at re-examining their relationship with certain things in life, whether that is the phone, social media, video games, whatever it might be that's a source of artificial dopamine activation for them, looking at sort of taking a break from those things. But that really needs to be kind of a couple of weeks in order for it to have a longer lasting impact. And then at the end of that period of time, getting people to reconsider, okay, what do I want my relationship with social media or video games, etc., to look like going forward?
Yes. You write that dopamine is central to learning and goal setting, not something we should fear or suppress. Do you think this cultural obsession with detoxing might actually make us more anxious or unproductive?
Yes, I think also we've got a bit of a culture of kind of looking for like quick fixes to things and immediate answers. And unfortunately, the brain is so much more complex than that. And you know, this kind of simplicity of something like a detox that can happen quite quickly and easily. But absolutely, the brain is essential for helping us store memories, process learning. Back in the days of the caveman, we had dopamine to help us do hard things, to help us hunt for food and, you know, survive essentially. But the problem is that in this day and age, we can get dopamine activated without having to work for it.
Yes. Is it a matter of people should prioritize setting long-term, like read, even simply as like reading a book and long-term goals, just to kind of change our relationship with not looking for instant satisfaction every day?
Yes, setting the long-term goals. And also when we do find that something feels a bit hard, you know, if you're working on a task and you feel that frustration and there's a pull to like go, oh, I'll just pick up my phone and scroll Instagram for a little bit, noticing that urge to kind of almost pull yourself away from that hard feeling and just stick with it. Put the phone in another room when you're trying to do some work, or put it on flight mode, or anything that's going to help you not be drawn to it when you are trying to engage in something deeper.
I love it. You've written a book called The Dopamine Brain. What do you hope that readers get out of that?
Yeah, so the book essentially, it takes people through a journey of you know, choosing something in their life they feel like they might have a bit of an addictive or unhelpful relationship with, taking a break from it, learning some strategies to help them manage the discomfort and the urges that'll come about, but also getting people to reconnect with their values, the things that are most meaningful to them in life that bring them a greater sense of satisfaction. Because the research tells us that when we live life aligned with our values, we have greater contentment and satisfaction in life. And those dopamine-driven behaviours often pull us away from our values. So it's a bit of a two-pronged approach of reducing the dopamine-driven behaviours but increasing our values-aligned behaviours.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, isn't it, that relationship between pleasure and long-term satisfaction, and how easy it is to be sucked in, and that kind of empty feeling that one gets after looking at reels all day. Is it a similar sort of sensation that like scrolling Instagram and reels to what one would get playing the pokies, in a sense? You're just looking for that next hit?
It's almost exactly the same. It's very, very similar. The mechanisms that are at play, both in the brain but also in terms of how the devices operate, are very similar.
Oh, wow. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. I could chat all day. Maybe I'm getting some long-term satisfaction out of this. Sometimes it's a very quick hit, but I feel like I'm channeling my dopamine in the right way having this conversation.
Lovely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Horace, clinical psychologist and author of The Dopamine Brain, speaking of the myths and science behind dopamine detoxing. If you'd like to get the book, Dopamine Brain, available now through all major bookstores and online retailers.